What's that? Who's out there? Who are you? Who are you? Leave me alone! Leave me alone!
Hi, this is John Zappas from the Paranormal Research Center of New England. I hope you guys enjoy listening to Ghostly Talk. These guys are great. Have a lot of fun with them doing their show. And feel free to contact them if you ever need anything. And feel free to contact me if you ever need anything. Be willing to share experiences and talk about things. And like I said, listen to my buddies here at Ghostly Talk.
Hello, this is 911. What is your emergency?
Hello, 911, you got to help me. There's a ghost in my trailer.
Excuse me, ma'am?
There's a ghost in my trailer. He's a flipping and a flopping and a flying all over.
Ma'am, please calm down. Ghosts do not haunt mobile homes.
Yes, they do. I saw it on hard copy.
Okay, what is a ghost doing?
He turned the lights on and off, and then he knocked on the door.
Are you sure it's not the power company?
No, he's right here on the couch eating Cheetos.
Okay, what does a ghost look like?
He's invisible. I can only see the orange stuff around his fingers and his mouth.
Sound familiar? This scenario happens every day at trailer parks across America. Experts estimate that one out of every six mobile homes is haunted by a ghost or perhaps a possum. You could be next. Here are some telltale signs. A can of skull mysteriously floats through the air. Blood drips out of your simulated wood paneling. The room is spinning and you're not even drunk yet. If you think your trailer may have an unwanted guest, please call Trailer Exterminators. We specialize in mobile home ghost removal as well as the extermination of aliens, secret government bugs, and in-laws. Don't call 911. Call us now.
Trailer Exterminators, may I help you?
Yeah, the government has built a tiny robotic inchworm that has infiltrated my compound in an attempt to steal my secret cars poison recipe.
Don't worry, sir. We'll be right over.
I'll be hurrying because they're about to unleash a giant bat.
Don't delay. Call them. Double Y, thank you.
What do you want? To see what your insides look like.
The man was being buried, placed in another's grave. The meaning charts all the enemy. They threw the body in the ground and touched the lifeless bones. The dead man rose up with a shout, "Great God, what's going on?" There's something going on in the graveyard like you ain't never seen. Saints are coming up from the ground, oh can't you hear them sing? With resurrection power and glory all around. There's something going on in the graveyard, the saints are heaven. Day that's coming that Jesus spoke about, when all those who sleep in the ground will wake up and come out. The world says we've gone crazy, sometimes we feel alone, but one day they're gonna cry loud, "Oh God, what's going on?" There's something going on in the graveyard like you ain't never seen. Saints are coming up from the ground, oh can't you hear them sing? With resurrection power. There's something going on in the graveyard, the saints are heaven bound. There's something going on in the graveyard like you ain't never seen. Saints are coming up from the ground, oh can't you hear them sing? With resurrection power and glory all around. There's something going on in the graveyard, the saints are heaven bound. There's something going on in the graveyard, ain't no grave gonna hold.
This is Russell White with Ghouli.com. That's www.ghouli.com. And with Ghost Magazine, you're listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex.
Big no-no! Big no-no!
Dead man.
Sex equals death. okay? Number two, you can never drink or do drugs. No, the sin factor. The sin is an extension of number one. And number three, never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back!
Shoot the surprise look.
I'm surprised.
You can't see it because I have my mask on right
you
now.
You do. You have your mask on.
I have my Jason mask.
Yes. You are the only one dressed up for Halloween besides me.
No, my dress is... My dress is in the closet, actually. I could put that on, too, if you want me to.
Oh, that would be hot.
I should have been wearing this last weekend with my dress.
Now, that would be really...
would have made no sense whatsoever.
Everybody would have been so confused, they would have ran out of there screaming.
Well, they did.
They did anyway, right?
Like, who is this guy with the hairy chest and the long hair?
The beard.
Wearing his mother's... I mean, his dress.
Wearing his own dress, yeah.
Well, it was mine. I own it now. I've actually usurped that dress from my mother.
Ah.
Actually, I think she was actually pregnant with me when she was wearing it.
Really?
That is a stroke of irony you've ever... I mean, yeah. You never thought her own son would be wearing it again, but...
Amazing. And you keep it in perfect condition.
I do. I actually washed it and ironed it this week again, just in case I needed it again. Like next year.
Right, right.
And I make that very... I stress that next year.
Did you buy the vacuum seal thing?
Yeah, it's locked up in a vacuum sealed thing, like a little bubble.
Right.
Thing. So, and it's temperature controlled. It's actually used originally for cigars. But I retrofitted it for a dress.
So you put it in the humidor.
Yeah, I put it in the humidor thing.
Perfect.
And, so it's gonna retain its color and luster and beauty throughout the year.
Excellent.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I can't wait to see it next year. I'm Doug.
And Will's like, what's going on? What have we
Will's
done?
Will's taking a nap.
Will, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
What's Will's, wrong?
His energy level
wrong,
is way up.
Huh?
Is there something wrong, Will?
No.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Are you not happy with us anymore?
Hate you all.
I will. I know that. We have another guest on the phone.
Yes, we do.
Is our guest there?
Hello? He is here.
Ah.
Hello?
We have Don Swain on the phone from beautiful, actually icy cold, Nordic-like Arizona.
It's Hell's Waiting Room. Happy Halloween from Hell's Waiting Room.
Don, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on with the great Scott L. Will and Doug. If Will can stay awake.
That's like shot number five at Will today.
Sorry.
We're going to end up giving him a cappuccino, so he'll be okay.
By trade, I'm a nurse, so I know all about narcosleepy.
Well, do you know about Mediterranean anemia, though?
Yeah, it's kind of like narcosleepy.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, they'll just stick a hose in your ear, suck out your brain, put in a new brain. You'll be fine, Will.
Oh, okay, cool.
Is that all it takes? Is that outpatient?
I've been suggesting that for years. Why we wait so long?
That's outpatient, isn't it? Where they do
it's 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's outpatient. Not a problem. It's just kind of like me going away when you were asking if I was here. I was just gone for a few minutes.
Right, exactly.
Just slipped into the other realm.
Don, you're a busy guy. This is what
I'm very busy.
This is what I've been
doing. This time of the year is the one time of the year where I'm not just the fat guy driving around in the black van with ghosts all over it. Everybody wants to talk to me.
Okay.
And I'm very popular. Now, come Tuesday, I'll just be the weird guy in the black van with ghosts all over it again. And then the only people that want to talk to me are the people that are calling me going, yeah, demons are attacking me except between 11 and 12 when I eat.
We get that a lot, you know?
Yeah. Well, I imagine, but you're up there where, you know, it snows and people go cabin fever-like and shining crazy.
Yes.
Well, like yourself, Don, we are experiencing the same thing in October ourselves. No longer are we the creepy people that drive the Deathscorts and the giant gas-guzzling Durango and then the little beautiful racing-like efficient Cavalier of Love. We're bothered in October. What?
It sounds like your car has an ego.
My car has a massive ego.
I guess, is it deserved?
Absolutely.
All right, there you go.
None of them have an ego like Digger, the ghost hunting van.
Digger? Is it Digger?
Digger.
That's the name of your van.
That's the name of my van.
Digger, the ghost hunting van. Okay.
And the van before that was Clyde, the wondrously gay van.
Wow!
What color was that? I can't wait to hear this.
Pink?
No, it was brown. I just bought it from some non-heterosexuals.
Ah, I see. Well, there you go.
We found fun presents in that van, but we don't want to go there.
Oh, God.
Sounds like our hotel experience.
Well, this time of year, I know what you're talking about, Don. This time of year, everybody comes out of the woodwork, and they want to talk to people in our field of study. In our art form, or whatever you want to call it, they really are excited to talk about these things. And, yeah, this is a very busy time of year for ghostly talk, and it sounds like it is for you too, Don.
Yeah, it is. And I think the biggest problem I have with them is they expect immediate results.
Yeah.
I take them down to one of the local haunted hotels. They expect something to jump out of the woodwork and bite their head off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to get it through their head that, yeah, it don't work that way. You know, I'll spend 20 hours with my team out on an investigation. We'll round up 30, 40 hours of footage. Out of that, we might get 30 seconds of usable video. Out of that 30 seconds usable video, we debunk 29.5 seconds of it.
We're having some
technical
noise.
We got it now. We're all right.
Okay.
I fixed it.
But I agree, because the most... I still hear it. I still hear that.
Wow. How about now?
I don't hear it now. That hurt, though.
We'll fix that in a little while. Don't worry, Chris. Chris is sitting there like, you killed my mic. What did you make my mic for? I'm going to make fun of you.
What happens is, though, I agree, Don. When we go to when we go out and about, the hardest part about a ghost hunt seems to be afterwards, because you're there for literally hours.
You guys can hear me. I can't hear you.
What? You can't hear me.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Ah.
I fixed it.
Well, thank you, Scott L.
I don't know what I did, but I fixed it.
What I was saying was, I agree, because the hardest part, or the longest part of a ghost hunt, seems to me, anyway, to be going through the footage, the photos, the audio tape, hours and hours and hours of audio tape, after the hunt. And then you only get, like, little clips. So I've experienced that... myself, Don. Don, are you there?
I've lost you guys completely. I can't hear you at all.
I wonder what's going on.
The ghosts don't want us talking.
That sounds true.
Can you hear us?
Do you want me to call back in on my landline?
Call back in, please. Yeah, go ahead. Call back in.
Pick up the phone and tell them to call back in.
Not any good to ask you questions. I
can't hear you. Chris, you there?
Throw the switch. So anyway, while Scott L. goes and negotiates with that, it does appear to be technical difficulty night here, doesn't it? We're trying to negotiate to get Don to call us back. Will.
Yes.
While we're waiting for all that negotiation to happen, how long do you spend on a ghost hunt, an average ghost hunt?
All my life, too, or how much time do I actually do?
How much do you actually spend? Well, you include sleeping time.
I don't know, at least
about 27 hours.
It's an hour in a place.
An hour or so. Okay. And then how much stuff do you have to go through when you're done? How many hours does it take to go through it?
Probably 4 to 5 hours.
So
per
it's
hour.
It's a 1 to 4, 1 to 5 ratio. Do you guys find that in the background? What's the ratio? Ow.
That hurt?
Yeah, every time you do that, it snaps in the headphones.
Well, I think I fixed the problem, though.
Chris,
can we hear you?
Yes.
There you go.
Ah,
there
we can hear you. What ratio do you find?
Gosh, for us it takes a while, but we also do like a lot of history research too. So
that's another thing. The work ahead of time and then the work afterwards takes a lot. So it is a time consuming thing. And that's the Hollywood thing that Don was...
Don should be calling back here in a second. I don't know what was going on with the line there. Something went down in the board. I don't know what happened there.
I'm not sure.
Well, we had our tech crew come in there and take a look at that.
So they're actually
in there right now looking at it.
Are we on the backup board?
Yeah, we're on the backup board.
Oh, good,
right
good.
Now. We're on the backup. Yeah, it is one of the... That Don was talking about that a second ago, and that's actually a great thing to bring up, too. Like, we bring it up a lot, but I'll stress it again. There is that mentality, especially this time of year, where people do come to people like us a lot, and people like Grimstone saying, "Hey, you know, it's Halloween, and I want to hear more about ghosts and ghouls and stuff like that." And we'll say it again: it is when you do this kind of thing, a lot of times you go out and spend about a good 6 to 12 hours in some areas, and you might only pick up maybe 30 seconds, like Don said, of interesting stuff to take a look at.
What's the most scaredest you've ever been, Scott L?
Moi?
Yeah.
Probably driving with you.
Right, right. You mean when I saw the ghost, or just
or
being
riding,
in
or,
the death
or riding with Will for fear of not making it to where we're trying to get it?
Well, in time.
Well, honestly, the scariest I've ever been really wasn't out of complete, it was, how would we say, it wasn't out of complete fright, I think. It was more like I was just kind of like my mind was playing tricks on me.
Right.
It was one night when we were at the undisclosed location, which was an asylum.
Right.
And I don't know if you were there that night.
No.
I actually kind of freaked out on somebody. It was not very nice, actually. But I was looking down a hallway, and it was snowing outside, so everything was white outside. Oh, phone's ringing.
Okay.
Will pops in. You're on Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, there's some lady in Indiana that's really upset with me.
Uh-oh. Did you call the wrong number?
Because if you call 286 instead of 203... You got some grumpy lady in Indiana.
Oh, wow.
Give us that number. We'll call her back.
Yeah, we'll call her. We'll ring her.
Okay, you don't need to... Don't be talking to a Ghostly Talk guest like that.
Yeah.
Don't be talking to a ghostly... We don't take that very kindly here. Because we have a lot of friends in Indiana,
too. You probably wouldn't
want
to associate me with Ghostly Talk.
Okay, that's all right. We were talking before something happened with the board. Who knows? We were expanding on that a little bit.
I hear it again. Can you, Will, turn off the fourth channel, fifth channel?
Yeah, we're getting off some noise on that.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay.
I don't know if it's on your end or my end.
It's on our end. It's undoubtedly on our end.
Yeah, we just got rid of that fourth channel.
We just fixed that. Okay. We were talking about, while we were waiting for you to call back, a little bit more about people this time of year, really becoming a little bit more interested in studying the paranormal field, ghosts and stuff like that. And
they just want to hear the stuff and see the Hollywood.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And what else did you have to say about that, Don? Because I know you got kind of cut off and you were talking about that.
Like I said, with the reporters, it's really hard to get them to understand that something's not going to jump out and bite your head off.
Uh-huh.
What I try to do with most people, and we run tours, we have... haunted history tours that we do that fund our investigation, because we don't charge for investigations with my team, as I know you guys don't either.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And in my opinion, no reputable group does. And what I do on the tours is try to tell them, you know, I've had people on the tours. I had a reporter today who was very disappointed nothing happened,
mm-hmm.
but couldn't figure out why they got that smell of lilac up in the top level of this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lilac water was the most used fragrance for perfume in the early 1900s down here in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
It was shipped in. So they're so busy looking for the Hollywood version that they're actually missing some of the smaller messages that Spirit is sending to tell them that, hey, we're here.
Well, that's just the result of not having the experience either, too. I mean, granted, you know, one of the jobs we all have, we know this, is to try to dispel these Hollywood ideas about what it is spirits theoretically may be. But that's more, I think, would be more of an experience idea, too. Of course they're going to look that over. They don't have any idea what you're really looking for. A lot of people that I've talked to for the first time, hey, Scott, tell us about ghosts. All right, I'll tell you about ghosts. A lot of people don't even know that smells are one of those senses are one of those things that you want to look out for when you're in an area, too, besides just having, like, the demonic arm popping out of the wall and ripping your head off, or, you know, somebody going, ooh, in your ear or something like that. There is this other sense, like you said, Don, that there is
smell. Feel, taste. Many of my tours, and I've experienced this, I'm well sure you guys have on your investigations. We've been out on investigation, I've experienced the touch.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, if you're alive in your skin and you want to get somebody's attention, the first thing you do is reach out and touch them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are in death what you were in life. If mm-hmm. somebody's standing there ignoring you, you're going to reach out and touch them.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get their
attention.
You know,
an entity that's wayward that doesn't realize that it's crossed over or that it's dead. I used to have a young girl up at the Lee Hotel here in Yuma. I had very long hair, and I always kept it braided and in a ponytail. And she had a big thing about flipping my ponytail.
Ooh.
And it didn't bother me a lot. One time my wife, who's also with us on the team, she's our dowser and debunker, she come up and put her arm around me, and she got a shove into the wall.
Whoa.
Well, apparently young Sarah was a little jealous over people getting close to me.
Hmm. Well, you must be one sexy guy. You got people in the afterlife wanting you like that, man.
Oh, yeah, I have the body of a god.
But no, that just illustrates the point some more, Don. Thank you. There are these other senses that you have to keep in tune. Bottom line, one of the first things I ever learned, I don't remember, I think I was chatting with somebody on Yahoo one night, and this is back, like, you know, in, like, you know, 1927 when I first started ghost hunting. And I asked this lady was, you know, she said she was an experienced ghost hunter, and I was just kind of chatting up with her. And I'm like, you know, I'm going on my first ghost hunt, which you guys know it was at Butler Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
Which wasn't a very pleasant experience. We've all heard about that. But I'm like, okay, I'm going ghost hunting. This is my first time. I have my nuclear generator, my cameras, all the equipment I need. I have the backup machines and stuff like that, and the mainframe computer. You know, what else should I do? And she's like, Scott, the number one thing you need to do when you go out there is leave all of your senses wide open. Be open to anything that comes in. And that's what a lot of people don't know right there, I think. It's
right. The most important tool we have is ourselves.
Exactly. That is.
But on the other side, you don't want to make yourself hypersensitive. I've heard you guys talk about it on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rusty, I've listened to your show since the late 1800s. and people get so hypersensitive that they've already got predetermined notions that they're going to go in here and this place is really haunted. And everything that happens is a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's not a good attitude to take. You need a healthy dose of skepticism, but at the same time, you do need to notice things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lilac.
Tunnel vision. I see that a lot, where especially this time of the year, because we have so many new ghost groups that seem to spark up around Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see it where they'll walk into an area, and all they see is what's right in front of them. You know, they don't listen, they're not paying attention, they don't use the peripheral vision. It amazes me. You know, I was with a group in the cemetery the other night. Actually, I have a better story. We have two new groups in town. One of them's a group of Marines out of the Marine Corps Air Station Yuma.
Okay.
The other one's a group of ladies that
mm-hmm.
just got together.
Mm-hmm.
I get an email from the group of ladies. So they were in the local cemetery. They kept seeing dark apparitions floating amongst the headstones.
Okay.
I get a phone call from the Marines, this group. They were in the local cemetery the same night. They keep seeing light apparitions moving around. I said, curiosity, what were you guys wearing? Well, you know, we're not really supposed to be in the cemetery after 8 o'clock, so we had on our MCAS shirts. I said, what color are they? Dark blue.
Oh.
Okay. I called Anna back. I said, what's your team wear for shirts? Well, we all had on white T-shirts so that we could see each other.
Oh.
Okay. I said, did you go chase down your dark? Oh, no, we ain't going to do that. Asked the Marines. Well, no, they're, you know, we aren't going to endanger ourselves. So I got two groups of ghost hunters out in the cemetery chasing each other around, taking... I must have had 400 pictures submitted to me of each other.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You know, and it's just, It just amazes me.
But that's some really good work there, too, Don. I mean, you really put your head into that and said, okay, you were able to connect the dots, let's just say.
Yeah, but I've done that. I've been out, and we have several old mining communities around. When we have time to go out and do ghost hunting rather than investigation,
mm-hmm.
I've been out in these mines, and I took a picture one day, and there's an image of a guy in a long duster in my picture. So I go trotting my little fat butt down this hill.
Mm-hmm.
Get down there, don't see anything, don't see tracks in the sand.
Uh-huh.
Start scavenging around. Pretty soon this old guy comes up. He's wearing an old white duster. He's still mining out there.
Mm-hmm.
He was alive and in his skin and well. I guess he had come up out of his camp to get water or something.
Yeah.
About time I snapped the picture, I physically didn't see him, but then he went down. But by following up on it, I'm not chasing a legend that's not real, you know?
Mm-hmm, exactly. That's just, and that's the stuff right there. That's the stuff right there that really grabs me, too. That's what's important.
Well, I usually do that. If I get something anomalous, I'll, like, go over there and try and investigate.
Well, yeah, a lot of people, that's the first thing they do. Oh, my God, I got a picture of a ghost over there. Well, get away from it!
Well, run!
Run away, run away.
No, it isn't a weapon of mass destruction, okay? It's
kind of like most haunted.
Yeah,
if you do that, we'll leave you alone. If you do that one more time, then when something happens, they'll scream and run out of the room. Obviously, you guys have seen most haunted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But very far out of reality again.
But even to the fact, we were on a tour once, and we got an anomalous photo of one of the buildings where a lady supposedly stands and watches for her husband to come home. I believe it's a place haunting, or residual haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Our photographer got a picture, an anomalous photo during this tour. We went back the next day and asked permission and gained access to the building to go up and make sure that there was nothing there that would cause a silhouette. And gained access to the inside at the exact same time the picture was taken the night before to try to recreate the photograph. You know,
mm-hmm.
it does. There's so many orb photos out there now that, you know, are dust and moisture and everything, that if we can't recreate it, then we'll call it paranormal, which is just above the normal.
Mm, exactly. And there are lots of orb pictures out there now, Don. It's scary.
Oh, I know. I get a lot of them. I had a lady sweeping her basement. Her husband was cleaning the basement in the house. And it's an old house, and it's unusual for a house in Yuma to have a basement since we're, 240 feet below sea level.
Mm-hmm.
She takes a picture. Of course, it's covered with orbs.
Mm-hmm.
They showed it to somebody who's a quote-unquote ghost hunter and demonologist.
Mm-hmm.
They said that she was built on an Indian burial ground, and they needed to sell the house to them because it was evil.
Ooh.
Wow.
Undoubtedly.
At a discounted price?
At a discounted price.
Undoubtedly the reason for everything, obviously. I mean, if you have a school of orbs in your picture, I mean, it's obviously it's the work of the devil.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean,
let's go back to Salem of the 1800s.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that happens a lot. We're all very aware of that. One thing we got to do, Don, because we are moving. We need to move to our next segment here pretty soon. Unfortunately, Doug was actually talking to me earlier.
Oh no, not again!
Oh, I would be so pleased if Doug would knight me.
Well, I tell you what. I think what we'll do for you, Don, you're special. We like you a lot, Don. As a matter of fact, Will was talking to me earlier. And he said, you know that Don guy? I'm like, yeah, Will. He's like, I really like that Don guy. And I said, I know you like that Don guy, Will. Why do you like him? He's like, well, he's a very, very handsome man. And I said, you know, I think he's a very handsome man myself. So what we'll do for you, Don, we're going to give you this special bonus edition of the GT Field Reporter Nighting. What we're going to do is both. I say both.
Okay.
Which means myself and Doug are going to knight you. How does that sound, Don?
Oh, that's just fantastic.
All right. I'll tell you what. Would you like me to start, Doug?
Okay.
And what we'll do is we'll go back and forth.
I like that idea.
You like that idea?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start, though. Don, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Please repeat after me.
Please repeat after me.
Off to a good start.
I smelled that one coming.
Yeah, I did.
I state your name.
I, Don.
Do solemnly swear to uphold whatever values Ghostly Talk may have.
Do solemnly swear to uphold whatever values Ghostly Talk has.
To use only mid-grade fuel in my car.
To use only mid- or low-grade fuel in my car.
Very good, thank you.
Oh, I like that. To discount all Dust Orb photographs from here unto henceforth.
To discount all Dust Orb photographs from here unto henceforth.
To only use dry erase markers.
To only use dry erase markers after I smell them, of course.
Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you.
I'm empty. I don't know.
Somebody's in here dug on zipping.
Better than smelling dry erase.
I know.
To always look at the glass.
Store hot dogs and being on the radio with Ghostly Talk and a Pepsi, how much better can it get?
Well, that's it. I think it's done.
Maybe we should start repeating after you. It sounds
yeah,
like.
I like that.
Here we go. To always look at the glass as half full.
To always look at the glass as half full of gin.
Hey, a gin drinker, my man.
All right.
I couldn't remember.
To drink. I've lost it. I'm done. Don.
Listen to Tone and Niche over and over.
No, you're doing fine.
I like
Doug,
it.
Go ahead.
To listen to Tone and Niche over and over and over.
To do what?
Listen to Tone and Niche over and over and over.
Okay, I don't know who they are because I'm like old and fat, but listen to Tone and Niche over and over.
They're a folk music band.
You heard that song
Cruising? That might be why.
You heard that song Cruising
to
the Graveyard?
I was born in the hills of Nebraska. We didn't have such things.
Ah, yes.
To uphold the rights of fat guys worldwide.
To uphold the rights of fat guys worldwide.
Forever and ever, amen.
Forever and ever, amen.
Doug the sword.
Shing. Tap, tap. There you go.
Congratulations, Don. You are now a Ghostly Talk field reporter. How's it feel?
Feels great.
I'm glad.
10 foot tall and bulletproof.
There you go.
That's it. That's what it's like.
As a Ghostly Talk field reporter, you are entitled to all rights and privileges that Ghostly Talk field reporters have, which is nothing. And you will have access to the Ghostly Talk field reporter album when we get around to putting your name into the directory. Thank you. Congratulations, everybody. A round of applause for Sweet Don. Thanks, Don, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. It really is.
No problem. And if you guys ever get tired of the cold winters in Michigan, feel free to come down to Yuma.
We'd love to.
Oh, man. That's one of the places I'd love to go.
One of my wife's fine, upstanding hotels. Give me a week's notice so I can go someplace else, though.
Okay? I have a lot of family in Arizona. I'd like to come down there. I've been trying to get down there for a couple of years.
Anytime. My wife actually does run two hotels here in town. So
great.
If you don't want to stay in my haunted hotel or in my haunted house, you can stay at one of her fine hotels.
Awesome. So anybody looking to go to Yuma, Arizona, ought to just email you anyway and say, hey, I want to.
There you go. As long as you're ghost hunters. My wife has family. I have ghost hunters.
There we go. That'll work.
All right, guys.
Thanks
I'll
a lot,
you
Don.
Thank you so
show.
Much.
Have
Don.
A good holiday. Thanks, Don.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
I'm exhausted, man. We have still about an hour and a half to go.
Awesome. I'm geeked.
I don't want to do this
I'm
anymore.
I'm hyped. You okay. don't want to do this
no,
anymore?
No, I'm kidding. I'm right. wide awake and
go
teary-eyed and bushy. Excuse me?
Go cook me pizza. You already did that. I know.
I know. It's still sitting in there. It's
I know.
Is it pureed by now?
No, it's perfect.
It's still nice and
yeah.
tender and juicy?
Well, it was perfect at the last break. I don't know what happened in the past half hour. I turned it up to 500, so...
That's a smoke. I thought yeah. it was their cigarettes, man. I'm wondering why the kitchen was on fire. There was a flame coming out. You know, just kind of peeking out like a little child playing hide and seek. And I'm like, there's flames in the kitchen. Well, we'll get that after the break. So,
yeah.
Shall we go to break?
Yeah, I'm going to need to get the fire extinguisher out and stuff like that. So, yeah, why don't we take a quick break here while I fix the kitchen.
Fix the kitchen.
Call
Good
the
idea.
Carpenters now. We'll be right back.
www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk. Here we go, down the road. Uh-huh.
80 hillbillies in Tennessee all went riding on Highway 3. They took a turn and they headed west. Why they did that? Anyone's guess. There were 87 of them when they started out. But five of them died and two fell out. One named Buck. His wife was half dead. He should have left her at home, but he brought her instead. They were driving west on County Road 8 when they spotted a house that looked just great. 4 stories tall and 50 yards wide, the hillbillies decided to step inside. They parked in front and got out of their cars, took in some moonshine in mason jars, got their guitars and their fiddles too, and started playing Billy, Billy, Billy Bayou. They were all laughing and a-dancing and acting real silly, but what can one expect from 80 hillbillies? They had a big party and did what they wanted. They never suspected that the house was haunted.
80 hillbillies in a haunted house. 80 hillbillies in a haunted house. 80 hillbillies in a haunted house. 80 hillbillies in a haunted house.
81, you count Buck's spouse.
81 hillbillies in a haunted house.
They were all laughing and a-cussing and drinking beer. The hillbills started to disappear. First there was Luke and Lula and Mac. Then there were more. It was hard to keep track. Well, Dickie Wayne Price, he screamed real hard.
There's 5 men hillbillies out the yard.
They searched the house and they found 2 more. Hector and Peanut out on the floor. They found Debbie's head on the top of a broom. They found the rest of her in the very next room. A lot of strange things happened that night. They kept finding bodies left and right.
69 hillbillies in a haunted house. 69 hillbillies in a haunted house. 69 hillbillies in a haunted house. 69 hillbillies in a haunted house.
70 if you count Buck's spouse.
70 hillbillies in a haunted house.
2 were attacked by the walking dead. 3 got a hatchet right through the head. 6 got eaten by giant rats. And 1 got killed by vampire bats. 6 hillbillies got stabbed with swords. And 1 got hit by flying boards. 3 got electrocuted by an electric wire. And 2 hillbillies just caught on fire.
45 hillbillies in a haunted house. 45 hillbillies in a haunted house. 45 hillbillies in a haunted house. 45 hillbillies in a haunted house.
46 if you count Buck's spouse.
46 hillbillies in a haunted house.
Downstairs, hillbillies danced all night. Upstairs, they were dropping left and right. Drinking moonshine, 100 proof. 2 hillbillies just fell off the roof. 3 got strangled by the crawling eye. And 2 hillbillies just started to fly. 3 got eaten by a giant moth. And 4 hillbillies got their heads chopped off. 2 hillbillies had a heart attack. And 1 hillbilly got stabbed in the back. 3 hillbillies had screaming fits. And 4 hillbillies got shredded to bits.
21 hillbillies in a haunted house. 21 hillbillies in a haunted house. 21 hillbillies in a haunted house. 21 hillbillies in a haunted house.
22 if you count Buck's spouse.
22 hillbillies in a haunted house.
5 hillbillies just split in 2. 8 got chased by sticky black goo. 7 hillbillies watched I Married Joan. But during the commercial, they turned to stone. That only left Buck and his half-dead wife. And Buck got stabbed by a flying knife. She sat and watched him as he bled. She's the only one left and she's half dead.
1 hillbilly in a haunted house. 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 She's so tired she's gone back to bed. She's the only one left and she's half dead. Suddenly Buck came back to life. He sat straight up and he told his wife, I don't care if you're half dead. Come with me back to bed. If we're gonna increase our population, we better get started with some calculation. 2 hillbillies in a haunted house. 4 hillbillies in a haunted house. 8 hillbillies in a haunted house. 22 hillbillies in a haunted house.
Make that 50 thanks to Buck's spouse.
50 hillbillies in a haunted house.
From the makers of Hooked on Phonics, America's number one learn-to-read program, and the producers of The Exorcist, comes an all-new product for that special young someone in your life who is possessed by Satan. It's Hooked on Demonics. You'll finally be able to translate what your special little possessed one has been trying to tell you for so long.
Here we thought our son had laryngitis. We didn't know what he was saying.
We couldn't believe he was actually just possessed by the Dark One.
His soul is mine, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Thanks, Hooked on Demonics.
Well, my daughter had been projectile vomiting green stuff for an entire week. I thought she was just trying to get out of school. You know these kids today. Hooked on Demonics sure worked for us.
Stop wasting money on priests and their unholy hourly rates.
That will be $23,000, my child. And remember, all of God's glory does not accept American Express.
With the low price of $666, there's no need to hesitate. Act now. Order online.
Good night, Mother.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
We measure things by what we are. To the maggots and the cheese is the universe. To the worms and the corpse is the cosmos. How then can we be so cocksure about our world? Just because of our telescopes and microscopes and the splitting of the atoms? Certainly not. Science is but an organized system of ignorance. There are more things in heaven and on earth than a sense of inner philosophy. What do we know about the beyond? Do we know what's behind the beyond? I'm afraid some of us hardly know what's beyond the behind.
I never got into them.
Yeah.
I bet you they're on Nuclear Blast, though. I'll be willing to Nuclear Blast. I bet you they're on Nuclear Blast record.
All right, I'm calling Nuclear Blast
now and find out what label. I'm pretty sure they have Rhapsody.
I think they're 1-888 Nuclear.
Nuclear, death metal, whatever. I don't know what their label. Are you calling them?
No.
Don't call.
My cell phone's off during the show.
Don't call Nuclear Blast on Ghostly Talk. They won't like us. I love Nuclear Blast. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
Well, all right, well, let's explain that little folly there. We had a bad mic for our guest. I think it's the
connector on the cord.
Yeah.
The connector is a stereo connector, not a mono connector. And of course,
we were getting the hiss through the channel.
Microphones are mono because there's only one, you know.
Well, we had to steal Will's mic though and give it to our illustrious guests.
Yes, we did.
We had to steal. So Will, sorry dude. He's silent again.
That's okay.
He's talking to a mic stand right now.
He's talking into the mic stand.
You okay, Will? Well, I think it's the Mediterranean anemia. It's gotten to his brain now.
The Mediterranean brain anemia. This is, of course, Ghostly Talk, and we are broadcast live on the Pioneer Radio Networks at pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net. We're also broadcast on Omnisound Radio 1. You can find them at omnisound.us.
Oh, yeah, man. And they are rocking from what we understand.
I know. I know that their sound is, like, absolutely impressive. They go through, well, we heard it last night.
It's powerful, man.
And
it's clean. It's crystal clear.
Yeah.
I'm actually afraid to hear us in that.
I know.
I've always liked that really crappy 16 kilobit thing. It covers up a lot of mistakes. You know,
it sure does.
It's that's why I'm a bass player.
I know.
Too.
We go from that to pin drop, and we're going to be like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Now
they can hear all my lisping and all my gurgling under my voice. They're going to be like, crap now.
We better, like, you know, keep our legs crossed during the show or something. I don't know. I just made that up. I didn't know what it means.
Okay, well, hey, you know what? I'll cross my legs if you want.
That's a good idea.
Let's cross our legs right now.
Well, I notice you're wearing pants.
Oh, yeah, normally, which we have just tonight.
Okay, yeah,
just so you guys know, usually I do the show in my boxer shorts. Well, hey, it's my winery. It's, you know, Usually the routine when you come home, when I come home, is the first thing I do is drop trowel. It's just what I do. I get comfortable, put my slippers on, and then I, you know, go about whatever my business is.
And he's wearing pants. So we this is a special show.
It's a very special show.
Not only is...
I'm not wearing pants, I'm wearing shorts.
Yes.
I'm wearing shorts.
You're wearing shorts.
Let's make that very clear.
Because you don't wear pants.
I hate pants. The only time you see me in pants is at work.
Right.
And it's because it's work.
Right.
We have the illustrious, brilliant, mysterious...
That's true.
Very mysterious, and I'm going to tell you why in a few minutes. Grimstone in the studio with us. It's great to have you guys here. Welcome.
Thank you. And we appreciate the formal wear.
Thank you. I'm glad. Do I look good? Do I look nice? Okay, cool. I just want to make sure I look... I mean, I was going to wear a suit, but I needed to get it pressed. I only
right.
have one.
Because the dress got pressed.
The dress
the
got
suit,
pressed.
You know, that took time.
So I only had enough money to press one of them.
Right, it's one or the other, and the dress wins, yeah.
We need to thank you, first of all, before we get moving here, because we're going to be getting into a lot of stuff I know. We're sitting here, and, well, this is before you got here, Doug. And I was talking to Chris.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, Chris, it's really great to have you here at the winery. And he's like, Scott, it's great to be here. I'm really happy, and I'm honored to be in your presence, Scott. It's amazing to be in front of such an amazing, amazing radio personality such as yourself. And I said, thank you, Chris. Right?
You think that's how like the conversation was?
Okay, actually, he said, yeah. What? Yeah.
Because I said, hi, it's great to have you here, and he goes, it should be. I didn't know that. You know, you got such accolades.
Well,
yeah.
Chris, come walking in. You know, Chris. He come walking in with all of his equipment and stuff like that. He had his Uzi over his shoulder and all that. You know, just his usual regiment.
They did rappel in.
Well, yeah, they actually came through the ceiling.
Yeah,
I understand.
They rappelled in.
And he was holding this black case though, and I'm like, usually when you see in people out there in internet radio land, regular radio land, from what I understand, there's like two radio stations in Miami that are listening to us right now. Hi.
Hi, Miami.
Hope you're not getting billowed and buried in. Gallons of
no,
rain.
No. The Hurricane Beta is South Africa. Wow. It really went off course. South America.
Sorry to our South African listeners.
What? Central America. Okay. So it's not. Well,
I can't keep up with these storms anymore.
They're on like 24 or 25 now. Get so many of them now.
There was a different one last week I thought that was in Florida.
Wilma.
That's not going to... That one's done?
No. What?
Wilma's done.
Through.
Okay.
And she went up. She went up the East Coast up to the like Newfoundland.
Okay.
Area.
Well, Chris was holding this black case in his hand.
Yes.
And I thought, hey, looks like Chris is going to the bar after the show, and he's gonna play. This looks like
shoot some pool.
Yeah, this looks like a pool stick thingy holder thing, whatever. I don't know. What do you have?
This
is my pool stick case. I don't know what you'd call it.
Pool cue holder. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm not big on table sports, obviously. So I'm like, hey, Chris, are you going to be going to play some pool after this show? He's like, no, actually, this is for you guys. And I'm like, well, what could it be? And then the music came in. And then everything went black and white. I had a suit on. I was Charlie Chaplin dancing around. All right, that was crap. Anyways. So he's like, this is for you guys. Now, when we were at the GLPR picnic back on August 20th.
Wow. Did you, like, look that up?
No, I actually remembered that.
Oh, my gosh.
I do have these little bits of brilliance here.
I figured it was sometime this year. I was pretty sure of that.
But Chris did this amazing presentation on spirit photography. We talked about that on the show before. And we were just kind of sitting there like... you know, drooling on the table. That's how we felt because this gentleman pretty much schooled everybody on what spirit photography is all about. One thing I want to ask you: you mentioned during that presentation, you are actually like a paint designer, or what?
I'm a paint chemist. Yeah,
you're a paint chemist actually. So, you work with paint. Stupid paint.
A lot of chemicals.
So that is our from what the presentation you were laying down to us. I mean, you have. I mean, along with your day job, let's say, your career, that's going to help you out a lot with the thing, you know, your hobby, obviously, studying spirit photography. We're going to talk more about that. I want to talk about this thing first, because what Chris actually showed us, one of his toys he had during the presentation was, what do you call it, a monopod?
It's a monopod.
It's a monopod. You have things called a tripod, and no, I'm not talking about any adult film star. I'm talking about an actual tripod. That you actually put your camera on, right?
Right.
Now,
The theory behind it is when you're shooting photos in low light conditions, the shutter has to stay open longer.
Yeah.
And we're humans and we shake, no matter how still you think you can be.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hold something perfectly still.
Yeah.
So the absolute best way to hold something still is to have a tripod, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you attach your camera, even if it's a digital camera or a camcorder or anything, you attach to a tripod, that can hold it still.
Yeah.
Humans can't.
No.
So then what's the next best thing? And he whips out this
stick.
Stick.
And we thought, like I said before, I thought, well, that thing would make an excellent beater.
Yeah, right.
You leave this in your back seat, and somebody tries to mug you on the street, dude. They're going to get on with this thing.
Yeah.
This is actually called a monopod.
They're going to have a single welt across their
cheek.
Whack. Ow.
Can you explain this a little bit, Chris?
Well, basically, it's an extendable type rod with a camera mount on top, and it takes away the effects of gravity, which is the majority of camera shake.
Mm-hmm.
So it should help stabilize your pictures about 80-85%.
And this is a top shelf item here. This has the little rubber grip on the bottom of it and everything. And I know the one thing you were explaining, you're like, this does. One of the things is you will get the side-to-side thing, unfortunately, with this.
Mm-hmm.
But it still is a very nice little piece of equipment, though. I mean, this thing is really cool. Chris gave us one of these things.
Right.
Chris gave us one of these.
Is that amazing?
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, this is really cool. On top of that, this has, like, a really nice case on it. It's like leather with, like, medallions and stuff.
Right.
It looks like something Liberace would use to ghost hunt with.
Right. The diamond studs along the edges.
Yeah, it's very nice. But this has a little plaque on here. And this made us all cry. We all had to go in the bathroom and cry for a few minutes.
Right.
Because it says it has a little 24-karat gold tag on this thing.
Right.
With diamonds all around it.
Right.
Actually, I think that the actual engraving's done in diamonds. Like a diamond
I think there's
engraved.
Rubies on back, if you want.
It says, to our friends at Ghostly Talk, always listening, Grimstone Inc.
Is that
the coolest thing ever?
I'm absolutely flabbergasted.
We're blown away. We're blown away, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
We really appreciate it, and this thing will get plenty of use.
I don't know. I can only hope and pray that improves the quality of our photos.
Moving off of that, we do obviously have the mighty Mysterious. You guys have. How long has Grimstone been around?
Since 1999.
They've been around forever. Basically. In this field, take it from someone who knows.
I know.
In this field, that's a very long time.
Yes.
That's a very long time. You're pushing 7 years of existence now, more or less. What got you guys, because we have Dean and we have Sharla also here. I got it right, didn't I? I was supposed to say, what's your name again? That's what I was supposed to say. But no, I actually have it correct. It is Sharla. We have Sharla and Dean also from Grimstone here. Who, if I may ask, because we always point at Doug, like, who started Ghostly Talk? And we say, well, Doug started Ghostly. We just point the finger at him. Who was actually, who founded it? Or was there a couple of founders? Or?
Oh, boy. There's no fight here.
Oh, no.
There's no fight.
Okay.
Well, Dean and myself formed the group, and we kind of had a grassroots-type initiation into the paranormal world.
And grassroots now, I'd like to hear more about that.
Well, in my old house, we used to have a couple of odd little things happen.
Okay.
There used to be some shadows that would occasionally form and just kind of move down the hall. And over time, we became more and more aware of the situation there.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Dean was over, and we were talking about why this house just seems to sometimes just creep us out.
Uh-huh.
So we started talking about, looking into the paranormal, and one of us came up and said, "Hey, I heard those dowsing rods things really work."
Uh-huh.
So we got onto the internet, looked up technical blueprints to how to make these amazing dowsing rods. Scratched our heads, threw them away, took a couple of coat hangers, bent them up.
And they milled these.
They
took, like, actual, what was it, willow wood?
Platinum rods.
And
platinum rods
and, beads and everything, and they put it all together and made these things that didn't work. And then they finally just bent a couple coat hangers. Yeah.
That's what most people do. Yeah.
And we just took turns walking through the house, not looking at what each of us was doing, and every single time they would seem to stop and cross at the same period.
Mm-hmm.
oh, maybe there's something to this paranormal thing. And
yeah.
Either that or we have some really bent, you know, coat hangers.
You can't use anymore, yeah.
Well, so we decided to start looking into it formally. You know, Dina talked to you a little bit maybe about some of this, his interests. He's mainly focused on history, and I've always had a deep fascination for the science side, mainly because I had a couple things that happened to me as a kid, and later on into adulthood, that I was looking for the answers for. And, you know, 7 years later, here we are.
You're on Ghostly Talk. You have made it.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, right.
You guys
have
done it.
The end. It's all down.
It's all down. Yeah. Consider yourself retired in about an hour. You're done. There's nothing else you can do. Dean, why don't you introduce yourself to us a little bit?
Okay.
Hi, Dean, and how did you get started?
Well, actually, as Chris went over the story, we were both fascinated by what was happening in his home.
Mm-hmm.
I had some things happen to me before that. My father had passed away, and you were talking about sense earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when you went into my home, which is where my father died,
yeah,
you would get the smell of coffee occasionally. Now, that doesn't sound strange, except no one had drank coffee in that home for 5 or 6 years.
That's very strange then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably how they're going to smell me when I die, too, because, I mean, I've just absolutely...
I felt tea, rice, and coffee.
Well, it was coffee and Old Spice. And
oh.
If you actually met him in life, that's what you would smell. So.
Is it just me or, you know, Old Spice? That's I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about Old Spice.
That's a distinctive
smell. It's a very distinctive
smell. Yeah.
And it's one of those smells. I'm not saying that it's bad at all. But you just know it's Old Spice smell it.
Yes, you do.
So that's a very good earmark, too, if no one slashed it on their face.
Like the lilac.
Yeah, no,
what's that?
You know, like the lilac. You can identify those things.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, that is, you know, that shouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are things that just don't belong there. And like you said, nobody's brewed coffee in this house for 5 or 6 years. I imagine nobody used Old Spice for the same amount of time.
Oh, absolutely. No, I hated this stuff.
I wonder what coffee and Old Spice, I wonder if you mix them together, if they explode or something.
Who makes Old Spice? We're going to get, like, hate emails from them now.
We'll make fun of our high-quality cologne. It's actually good stuff. I like it myself. I'm using aftershave. It's in a catcher's mitt right now. What am I talking about?
40 cents a liter. And
45 cents a gallon.
Yeah, oh, that's it.
No, it's Old Spice, man. It's been around for years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an Old Spice is a shelf life of, like, what, like 18 centuries or something like that?
Something along those lines.
And
yes.
if you put it on any article of clothing, it'll never come out. It's
right.
Worse than scrumptious.
Yes.
It'll never come out. So, hey, that would be something that would obviously stick out in a situation.
You would, absolutely.
That's very interesting. And this kind of just more or less sparked your interest in the paranormal. Am I correct?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, it made me think.
And Chris mentioned that you're into the history more, too.
Right.
You study the more of the history. We've been getting a lot of that this month. If anybody's, you know, I don't know if you guys have listened or not, but we've talked a lot of ghost hunters this month.
Yes.
And there is this growing trend we've been finding.
Well, it was Ghost Month. Of course we talked to a lot of ghost hunters.
What?
That's what we do.
What?
We talk to a lot of ghost hunters during Ghost Month.
Huh?
On Ghostly Talk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
the show is... On Sunday night.
Okay, all right, all right, all right, all right. Okay. There seems to be this growing trend, though, and you might notice this also, Dean, of there is this breed of ghost hunter that I will attribute, I will take my hat off to the king, Troy Taylor, who was the man. I think he's one of the original people that really focuses and will focus, I think, on the history of a location. That's what he does. And there seems, I mean, we talked to a ton of people, and we've been talking to a lot of people lately that have really been wanting to focus on that a lot more than just the scientific side of it more. They want to learn what happened there. And I think it was, Jeff may have said it. Was it Jeff Bellinger that said it last week? He made a very interesting point about that. Obviously, you know, a spirit photo or an EVP or a feeling you get, somebody flips your ponytail, like Don said last segment. It's obviously, to you, it's very real. It's something very real to you. But you really can't, I mean, even with all the stuff we've been doing, it's very hard to prove it conclusively and repeat it over and over again, apply the scientific method. We're still working on these things. But to be able to verify the history of a location.